music and farce, show tunes and satire, poetry and parody, odds and ends.
And I've suffered for my music. Now it's your turn.
Ragbag, Sunday nights at 10 on CFRO Co-op Radio.
Welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show here on 102.7 FM Co-op Radio CFRO in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Today is Friday, August 12th, and 2011. I am your host, Allison Cole, and I'm joined here today by my co-hosts, co-host Carissa and our guest co-host, Tara Gardner. Hello.
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 So on today's show, our first segment will be travel tips and recommendations for compassionate eating Los Angeles version 2.0 based on my recent trip there last month. So last month, I actually spent a whole week in LA, mostly for the Animal Rights Conference, and then a week in San Francisco. I've been to LA lots of times before, and so there's more great food options to share with you this time around. But I do have to say as well that San Francisco also has some amazing vegan eating, and I do look forward to sharing with you my recommendations of cruelty-free culinary finds from this Northern Californian city in the near future. But this week we're talking LA, and LA is known to be one of the top vegan-friendly cities in the country, which is partially why it also tops my list as one of my favorite cities to visit. And in fact, if I'd had to choose my top vegan-friendly city that I've been to, I would choose LA just because of all the options that are there. So I'm curious to know what your personal top vegan-friendly cities are from the cities that you've been to, Tara and Carissa.
Well, I haven't really been anywhere, as we were discussing. So I guess it would be Vancouver. The only other places I've been are Seattle, but I've only really had Mighty O donuts there and haven't eaten anything else vegan there. And then
I like them.
I went to Veggie Grill when we were in LA, and that's all I've done outside of Vancouver.
Veggie Grill was really good. Yeah. I didn't really go anywhere in LA either, but I think my top favorite veg cities would definitely be Portland. Is really good.
You can I
go.
I wish I had been there.
You can go to pretty much any
restaurant.
Aren't you
restaurant going for the VitaCon conference?
No.
You said you're going. No?
Okay. I tried to win my way into the VitaCon
conference. Oh, I thought you were going anyways, even if you couldn't get in. Okay.
Even if I couldn't get in, I would just stand outside.
That's what I thought. You were just going to crash it.
Okay. I'm going to crash it. Love you.
I wish. I think that's next weekend or the weekend after?
I think it's the last weekend. Yeah, but weekend. Anyways, Portland. Tell us about Portland.
Portland's awesome. They've got tons of, you know, veg restaurants and stores and stuff. And you can go to pretty much any restaurant, and when you say vegan, they
know
usually
what's going
know
on.
What you're talking about. Like, you have a better chance there of getting what you want.
Yeah.
And then second, I would have to say Chiang Mai, Thailand. I was really surprised. We were, you know, walking through the streets, and you would see lots of little restaurants that would advertise vegan, or not vegan, but vegetarian.
Yeah.
And you'd go in, and you'd say, I'm vegan, so no eggs, no dairy. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's sure. Yeah, we can do that for you. And
you know, that
awesome.
That surprises me just because I know that Thai is not, like, they do a lot of meat there, but you were saying before that there's a difference between southern and northern
Absolutely.
Thailand.
Absolutely. In northern Thailand, it's a lot easier. And in southern Thailand, it's a lot harder. You have to really look and, you know, research where you're going to find a good vegan restaurant. But yeah, I was surprised, like, here when you go to a Thai restaurant, they always put fish sauce in everything.
Oh.
And I've been to restaurants where they say no fish sauce, no flavor, and they refuse to do it without.
What?
Oh, I'm surprised.
Yeah, so when we went to Thailand, we like made sure everywhere we went, no fish sauce, no fish sauce, and they look at you like you're crazy. Like, of course we would never do that to you, you know? And it's just so strange the difference from, you know, North American Thai people and, you know, Thai people,
North,
like from Thai
people?
North American. Like, it's really different. It's it's strange.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting to know that. I wasn't expecting that as one of your top vegan-friendly cities. Portland, everyone knows, Thailand, very interesting there.
Love it.
So, so for our feature interview today, we will be speaking with Robin Dorman, who is the campaign manager for the nonprofit group In Defense of Animals for the campaign for South Korean cats and dogs. Now, how aware are you both of this issue, which is the issue of cats and dogs routinely being farmed, sold for slaughter, tortured, and then killed to be eaten in South Korea? I mean, it's just not something we really think about here in North America. And I know, Tara, you actually saw the video that I posted on our website, so maybe you know more so about it after watching that video.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard, you know, you hear people talk about it, and it's something that, you know, you never want to really think about. That's just something that, I just can't even really comprehend it. And then...
Right. Out of sight, out of mind, though, is a common...
Exactly.
Common way to deal with these things.
And then I saw the video that you posted, and I watched the whole thing, and I was just horrified. Mm-hmm. Like, these beautiful, beautiful dogs, and they're just sold for meat. And then just down the street, they have... these other beautiful dogs that are purebred dogs that are sold as like companion animals. And they're just, it's just so strange that they're just right there and people are like, okay, we're going to take these ones home and we're going
to, these ones get to live and the other ones
we're going to eat. Like,
See, that's strange to me because we are used to having dogs and cats as companion animals here. And we would never think to do such a thing to our companions, but that mindset is not the same in South Korea. I'm going to ask Robin about that if she knows about I just find different cultures is just interesting how people think.
It is interesting to think of it with the same species, but I mean, people do it all the time. They have cats and dogs that they love and care for, but they eat pigs and chickens and cows.
Right.
It's the same disconnect, right?
But for the same species, it's like, I've got a dog in my yard who I love. Now I'm going to have this other dog that I bought at the market today for dinner.
Yeah. It's really
strange. I don't get. That's even stranger for human nature. Yeah. I don't understand that.
And I've seen it as a status symbol. Like when I was in Thailand, we were walking around like the rural areas, like you see like these really nice houses and they have these really manicured lawns, and then you see this little purebred dog sitting outside, and it's a status symbol in some Asian parts of the world. It's a status symbol to have a purebred dog as a companion animal, and it's just strange. Like, they don't really interact with them that often. They're just there.
That's just sad.
And like a living statue almost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that video was really sad too, I have to say. But, you know, thanks for being brave and watching it because I couldn't watch it all. Yeah. I asked you to. I assume you didn't watch it, Krista, because I know you can't handle that stuff. But let's move on to something happier. I was at the Nice Shoes vegan shoe store yesterday and was delighted to see Zimt chocolate bars there for sale. Have you all discovered these new and locally made chocolate bars yet?
I saw them at Veg Fest.
Yeah, that's where I first found them.
I had a sample there and it was really good.
I really liked it.
I love chocolate. Yeah.
Who doesn't, right? Zimt Artisan Chocolates is a Vancouver company recently started by Emma Smith, who people may know.
She's a sweetheart.
She is. She makes good chocolate. Yeah. So it's a raw, vegan, diabetic-friendly, organic, fair trade chocolate. Totally ethical. Like, how much more ethical can you get than that? And also healthy.
Yeah. And it's raw?
And it's raw.
Wow.
I read on the website that it's heated below 120 degrees. So... healthy chocolate. So I was buying some lip balm at Nice Shoes yesterday and saw the chocolate, and I said to Joanne, who owns the store, I said, I want one of those, but I haven't been eating sugar these days. So it's like, it's off my list. And she says to me, oh, but there's no sugar in them. Well, right. I knew that. She sweetens with dates and I think coconut nectar, Joanne was saying. I know that was one of the ingredients on the chocolate bar. Because when you're eating like these raw foods, raw desserts, I find that it's always really wholesome ingredients.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no sugar in them, which is why they're good for diabetics. So, as I said, I had first discovered these chocolates also as well at the Veg Fest. And when you see a chocolate bar, you automatically assume it's going to be loaded with calories and refined sugars, but not the case with these ones. Most of the ingredients in Zimt chocolates are actually sourced from only two plants, the coconut and the cocoa bean. And there are all kinds of flavors as well, such as dark chocolate ganache, coconut crisp, and coconut chocolate fudge. I got the vanilla caramel one, and it was very, very yummy, in my opinion. And best of all, I didn't feel like I had committed a great sin after eating it, because it's all good ingredients. I do encourage you to check out Zimt chocolate bars. They are now sold in Vancouver at Nice Shoes and also at Green's Natural and Organic Market on West Broadway. And you can also find them at our potluck tomorrow, as Zimt Chocolate is one of our sponsors. And we'll be raffling off two of these delicious handmade chocolate bars at the raffle. So please buy lots of tickets at our event there, and maybe you'll get a yummy, raw, vegan, organic chocolate bar.
Sweet.
As the prize.
That's exciting. I'm so excited. Yeah. Do you guys know what you're going to be making for tomorrow?
I might be making my pumpkin banana bread.
Oh, yummy! Exciting.
Come to Co-op Radio's book and record sale fundraiser on August 7th. It's part of Artful Sundays, hosted by Britannia Community Center. Artful Sundays is a 5-Sunday outdoor visual arts market featuring the work of local artists, live music, artist workshops, special events, and more. Come to Napier Square at Napier Street and Commercial Drive every Sunday between noon and 5 p.m. from August 7th through September 4th. For more information, go to britanniacenter.org or call 604-718-5800.
So you are listening to the Animal Voices radio show here on 102.7 FM CFRO Vancouver Cooperative Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And here are this week's upcoming events, as we alluded to just before the break there. We're having the Animal Voices Summer Outdoor Vegan Potluck and Book Swap tomorrow. I'm excited about it. It's going to be a great day. The weather forecast is 24 degrees and sunny. So, you know, we haven't had, like, this week it's been a little bit of kind of off and on weather.
Cloudy.
Yeah, you know, kind of overcast and kind of nice. I am predicting that tomorrow evening, 6 p.m., is going to be beautiful weather. So
yes.
Beautiful outdoor potluck weather. It starts at 6 o'clock p.m., as I said, at Trout Lake Park at 3350 Victoria Drive in Vancouver. And this potluck's open to everyone, and we invite you to come out and meet your Animal Voices hosts and to partake in some yummy summer vegan food. Please bring a vegan dish to share, and that is one free of all animal products, including meat, dairy, eggs, honey, and gelatin. Please also bring all of your own serving utensils, as well as a plate, cup and cutlery, and a blanket or outdoor chair to sit on if you wish. And also bring your family and friends too, of course, for the book swap portion of our event. This is going to be a great time for you to pass on some literary treasures and to take home some new favorites. So please bring your unwanted books to pass on to others, and there will be books for you to take home as well. Books to swap need not be limited to veg and animal advocacy or cookbooks, though those are much encouraged as offerings. You might send home your books with someone who's veg curious and could really gain a lot of info from this. So we're going to try to get the picnic tables if they're available. If not, we've got our own tables. We've got our banner up, so look for that. We're also going to be having a raffle fundraiser. Before I get to that, what are you guys making?
I'm still not decided. I like to do this where I like feel like whatever I'm feeling, I guess.
Yeah,
whatever I feel eating.
That's,
and then
that's how I live my life, is whatever I feel I go
whatever
with.
Whatever I feel, that's what I'm gonna go with. Exactly. Yeah, so I'm sure it will be something delicious, don't worry.
What about you, Carissa? You said pumpkin bread?
I think it's gonna be my pumpkin banana bread, but it might also be, I might do the pink lemonade cupcakes.
Mm.
I'm a little undecided, but I think it'll probably be
really
the
good
pumpkin banana bread.
Oh,
and
both
I'm
delicious.
I'm bringing mini veggie dogs.
Oh,
nice!
It's not as fancy as it seems. I was at a superstore last week, and I saw they had these like mini buns, a variety of different kinds. So they had these mini ciabatta buns, and
oh,
they're
cool.
Like they're tiny. They're like this big. They're like bitefuls.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, I'll just put like half a hot dog in each one. I was gonna make my own sausages, but that's not gonna happen. I don't have time. There's no time. So I bought some veggie. Use veggie hot dogs and condiments and kind of like outdoor
nice
potluck food.
Yeah, perfect summer.
Yeah.
So I wanted to quickly talk about our raffle prizes. So we have, as you know, Animal Voices is a nonprofit organization, and we have fundraising that we do to keep the show on the air and to promote it to others. So we're going to be selling raffle tickets, $1 each or $6 for $5. And we've got some good prizes. So I just wanted to let you know about these. Our grand prize is going to be a vegan pink love handbag by Susan Nicole, which is a value of $95. That's courtesy of Nice Shoes. So thank you, Nice Shoes. And actually, I'm looking at one of those bags right now in yellow because Tara walked in with one today. So
I love my love bag.
Yeah. So awesome. It's a really beautiful bag.
Gorgeous.
We've also got some books. The Exultant Ark by Jonathan Balcombe. Why We Love Dogs, Eat Pigs and Wear Cows by Melanie Joy. The Animals Messenger book by Shiri Joshua. Animals in the Afterlife book by Kim Sheridan. We've got some Veg News magazines. Nature Source Eco-Friendly Bath Products gift set. Earth Girl Aromatherapy Vegan Soaps, Natura Rice Milk, a Jam Tower gift pack by Preserve BC Sunshine. As I said before, we've got a couple of Zimt Raw Vegan Organic Fair Trade Chocolate Bars, Mama Nelly's Goodies Jar of Salsa and Peppered Rosemary Garlic Crisps, Planet Earth's Polar Bear Puzzle, possibly a Carmivora Vegan Store gift card. Actually, it didn't arrive in the mail, so I did check today, so next time. And then a Veg Dog gift pack, which includes the Natural Remedy book for dogs and cats, plus vegan food dog food samples, and an Urban Safari package of Pickup Pals, which is a nice way of saying biodegradable poop bags. So, and they're really cute. So yeah, so that's what we've got going. Now, remember,
good job.
Yeah,
that's
so
awesome.
Please buy lots of raffle tickets. Remember, you're supporting a good cause, Animal Voices. That's the show you're listening to right now. Quickly before we end this segment, I just wanted to touch upon the International Day of Action for South Korean Dogs and Cats again for 2011. In Vancouver, this event is happening at the Korean Embassy at 1090 West Georgia Street, and that's next Tuesday, August the 16th at noon to 3 p.m. So this year, the nonprofit organization In Defense of Animals will once again host this International Day of Action. This year's Global Day of Action is taking place on August 16th to coincide with the first of South Korea's Bok Days, which literally means the hot dog days of summer. Some South Koreans eat more dog meat at this time of the year because they believe eating animals who do not sweat will keep them cool. If you want more information about helping out with this event, contact Rochelle at 604-318-9528. And if you're not in Vancouver and you want to see if there's an event happening in your community around the world, please go to IDA's website to find out more at idausa.org. If you have an animal-friendly event that you would like to have announced on the show, please email us the details at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com, or you can post it on our Facebook page, which is Animal Voices Vancouver.
And also, tonight there's an event that's happening as well. Stop UPC Animal Research will be at Scotiabank Theatre, which is on 900 Burrard Street, Smythe and Burrard, and we'll be there handing out pamphlets and doing outreach for Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Have you guys heard of this movie?
Yeah, I heard Brian saw it and said it was really great, and it talks about a lot about sort of vivisection. So we're going to just be educating people about what's happening at UBC and how it's related to the movie.
Yeah, apparently it really gets into, you know, animals in labs. So he said that he came out and he said that it will be a great outreach tool. So we're going to be out there and giving people you know, something they can do after seeing this movie. So
thanks, Tara. So as our listeners probably know, last month we were on a bit of a hiatus, as we've mentioned about half a dozen times so far. So three of us from the Animal Voices show went to Los Angeles for the annual Animal Rights Conference, which we spoke about last week. And I've been frequenting LA once or twice a year now for the last 5 years. And one reason why I love to visit the city over and over again is because of the sumptuous discovery of delicious vegan food in multitudinous locations across the city. Not only is it a huge and expanse urban area, but it also happens to be one of the most animal-friendly cities in North America when it comes to the number of businesses that offer compassionate cuisine. I did present a compassionate eating segment on LA on the show after my last time there, which was last fall, and that podcast can be heard on our website if you search for Los Angeles. So I won't do any repeats here, and that is because there is just so much to talk about when it comes to the exploration of cruelty-free eating in the city of LA. So there's always a few places on my must-go-to list that are mandatory for me when in LA, but I do like to make a point of seeking out and discovering new vegan food treasures, and I have to say that certainly several were discovered on this trip. To begin with, on our first day, my traveling companion and I were headed to Pasadena for a vegetarian food fair. It was a hot day, and so, of course, some delicious dairy-free ice cream was in order, right? Pasadena happens to be home to a small chain of three new vegan ice cream stores known as Kind Cream. That's cream with a K. Have either of you heard of it before?
Mm-mm. Oh, I think I've heard of it, but
yeah, I had heard
of it. I didn't realize
before.
It was a chain.
Yeah, well, they have three now. They just opened.
Cool.
So not only is this ice cream kind, that is, no animals were harmed in the making of it, but it is simply delicious as well. And that's a great combination, don't you think? Kind and delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Kind Cream is a gourmet, raw, vegan, organic dessert shop. How cool is that? In addition to offering a good number of unique and unusual flavors of handcrafted ice creams, it also features other raw vegan desserts, all of which I tried were amazing, as well as shakes, fresh juices, cold-pressed coffees, daily soup sandwiches, and more. And Kind Cream was recently named the best vegan ice cream in North America by PETA. So that's saying a lot.
Wow.
So back to the main item, the ice cream. We actually went to two of the Kind Cream locations that week just because we loved it so much, and I got to try out a lot of ice cream. They're, yeah, poor me, huh? They're the things I do for the show. They're offered flavors varied at each location, and the ice creams are coconut, almond milk, and cashew based. You won't find as varied ice cream flavors anywhere else, I don't think, such as coconut, carrot, ginger, mint, cacao, nib, beet, ginger, grapefruit, banana, chocolate swirl, and kumquat goji. And there was even a kale flavored ice cream, for goodness sakes. Like kale. Who puts kale in ice cream? So I had about six different flavors three times we were there, which were all kind of a blur to me now. I can't really remember like the intricate names of each one, but I do remember that I wasn't too keen on the kale one. They let you sample a lot too, actually, so decide. Yeah, so I sampled the kale.
Nice.
But I really did enjoy the carrot ginger. I had the raw chocolate brownie sundae as well, which was so delicious, featuring the raw ice cream with raw brownies, raw chocolate syrup, and cacao nibs. So healthy, right? And that's what I tried to tell myself the whole trip while indulging fervently on a multitude of raw desserts, which are made by all these wholesome ingredients. So if it's raw and, you know, wholesome ingredients, it's okay. We also shared a raw cheese plate the first time we were there, which was surprisingly huge for $7.50 for a raw plate, and featured, I believe, three types of different flavored nut cheeses along with veggies and raw crackers. That was very tasty as well, and healthy and filling. To find out more about Kind Cream and to drool at the menu in the privacy of your own home, you can visit their website at kindcream.com, and that's cream spelled K-R-E-M-E. So moving on from Kind Cream, but only a little bit, is my next awesome discovery of our trip, which was another brand new vegan restaurant, which happens to be located in the same space as the Kind Cream in Echo Park, and that is Sage Organic Vegan Bistro. We found Sage to be another brilliant find of delicious cruelty-free eating, and we're both truly impressed with their culinary offerings. We went to Sage twice, actually, because we loved it so much, and I can only implore you to visit their website right now or right after the show at sageveganbistro.com to, once again, drool at the menu in the privacy of your own home. I love the creativity and ingenuity of the varied menu offerings, ranging from jalapeno India cheese wontons with fennel horseradish as an appetizer to chipotle burgers with the chipotle blueberry glazed white bean and roasted pepper patty, lettuce, heirloom tomato, avocado, mayo, mustard, and corn salsa. And I also want to mention the Jack Daniel's barbecue jackfruit entree, which was marinated jackfruit, which actually has kind of a meaty texture, but it's all plant-based. Caramelized onions, baby arugula, garlic aioli, served open-faced and covered in homemade spicy barbecue sauce. So bursting with flavors the food was. What do you girls think?
Yeah, it sounds delicious. I think I'm drooling.
So we have these three vegan dishes that I just mentioned, plus more. Sage Organic Vegan Bistro, having just opened this past year, has already been put on the vegan map of must-go-to restaurants in LA. I assure you, you're going to be hearing about it among your, you know, the circles of Facebook and that online reviews and that. So remember to save room for dessert at Kind Cream, too, if you do go there. And I do ask you to check it out the next time you go to LA. They are located at 1700 West Sunset Boulevard. Next, I want to move on to a yummy vegan Thai place that we went to for lunch one day, located in the West Hollywood area. I had curiously passed by this place, Vegan Glory, quite a few times in the past before. It's right basically on a general like strip that you're always passing by if you're driving through Hollywood. And I read positive reviews about it. So we got to go there finally. First of all, we went right at the lunch hour, and it was pretty much packed there. But nevertheless, the service was super fast, which was very much appreciated. We were in and out in about 50 minutes total. Again, a full menu of vegan offerings, and this time all Thai and Thai fusion. In addition to being strictly vegan, most of their ingredients are also organic. Vegan Glory's menu is very extensive, and the prices are very decent. The menu boasts dishes such as dumpling soup, papaya salad, red, green, and yellow curry, spicy eggplant, pad Thai. Lots of standards here in the field of Thai cuisine, everything you'd expect to see, including lots of mock meats to replace the animal flesh. But then there's the fusion aspect of it as well, which is featured through offerings of wraps, burritos, and burgers, all Thai-inspired. So they have an amazing lunch combo that is $8.95 and comes with your entree, steamed brown rice, a spring roll salad, and soup of the day. And a similar dinner combo for only $10.95. You are getting good value here. I love a place like this that just runs really efficiently with good service, good food, as well as good prices. It's very simple. My only regret with Vegan Glory was that we could only go there once, and so I do long to return again. And Vegan Glory is located at 8393 Beverly Boulevard, and their website is veganglory.com. So we spent one whole day in Santa Monica, and did you know that Santa Monica is home to several raw restaurants, and they're all in the same general area? Did you
nice.
Know about Santa
no.
Monica? I think it's known to be as, you know, beach community, fairly, people want to maintain their beach bodies, so they want to eat raw food. So we wanted to go somewhere raw, and Better Life Cuisine was quite randomly the winner of our choices. My traveling partner, Denise, called this place one of her top favorites of our two-week trip, during which, incidentally, we went to 19 different restaurants, so that's saying a lot. Better Life Cuisine offers an extensive menu of raw dishes, a lot of them that you typically see in a raw eating establishment, as well as a lot of original creations, and a barrage of juices and smoothies, raw Caesar salads, raw lasagna, raw pizza, raw soups, and then there's also a range of amazing original wraps, desserts, and entrees that you're not going to find anywhere else. Both my friend and I ordered a wrap each, but our wraps were so huge and so filling that we could only eat half, which was great because we had leftovers for the next day. My wrap was the egg salad made from cashews, of course, and I also indulged in an $8.75 chocolate lover smoothie made from almond milk, cacao dates, cacao nibs, and carob. So that's one of the expensive kind of like it's vegan, raw vegan dessert beverages that I indulged on.
Wow.
We also shared two desserts, and I remember the green spirulina cheesecake, non-dairy, of course, being quite good. So I love the name Better Life Cuisine for this restaurant because that is exactly what you're going to have if you eat this food every day, a better life. I only wish I could eat this food every day, really, or, you know, I wish that someone was making this food for me on a daily basis because it does take a lot of effort to make, just, you know, preparing all those ingredients from scratch. With the absence of a Better Life Cuisine in Vancouver, I'm just happy I can go to Organic Lives to achieve a similar dining experience of delicious and nutritious gourmet raw food, but more appropriately, I just need to learn how to make these often intimidating looking dishes myself, since it's never easy on the wallet to dine at raw restaurants. And that's with good reason. That is because there's a lot more effort and higher quality ingredients used in these places, unlike standard restaurant fare. But we weren't going for standard here. If you're ever in Santa Monica, Better Life is a short walk away from the 3rd Street Promenade shopping area by the beach and is located at 717 Broadway Street. Their menu can be viewed at betterlifecuisine.com, and they also have a really nice video on there that shows what their dishes look like. Really awesome video to watch. So is that enough yet? Are you overwhelmed yet? I love these yummy vegan choices.
All this food talk is making me hungry.
Yeah.
And you know, like, what's for lunch?
Yeah. Right, exactly. And you know, of all of these 19 restaurants that we went to, most of them were all vegan and only 3 or 4 weren't. So the people of LA are definitely lucky when it comes to being able to eat out at many various different types of places where the food is made with compassion in mind, and that is no animals harmed. So I'm going to stop now because I want to hear about your vegan finds in LA, Tara and Carissa. I know you had a little bit of time, not that much, during the conference. So what were your dining experiences like outside of the hotel, that is?
The Whole Foods that I went to LA was really...
El Segundo. That's known to be a very vegan-friendly... I went there too, a very vegan-friendly Whole Foods.
Yeah, they had 2 tables that were just... vegan desserts in the dessert area, and I was like, what? And they were labeled as vegan on everything, and I was just like, that's crazy.
And
they
had expensive, right? Of course it's Whole Foods.
Yeah. And they also had a vegan... I went to 3 different Whole Foods while I was in LA.
Wow.
Because I went to that one first and expected they were all going to be like that, and they totally weren't. That one had a vegan hot bar that was just vegan.
Oh, and then I went to Las Vegas, if you remember, I'd mentioned that.
Yeah. And then the other 2 that I went to didn't have, they had 1 vegan dish in their hot bar. each. And that was about it. And I was like, oh, sad face. And I'm not interested in that.
Sad.
Yeah, so El Segundo Whole Foods by the airport. Yeah. You know, when you're leaving or when you're arriving at LAX, if you're traveling to LA, I suggest stopping by that Whole Foods, which is right next to the Veggie Grill. Go to the Veggie Grill first to eat food, which is what I always do as soon as I arrive in LA. That's always the first stop. And then just head over like across the street to the Whole Foods and stock up on your treats for your trip.
And I got to try hemp. I don't remember now. Or maybe it was Tempt ice cream.
Tempt ice cream. Yeah.
And it was made with hemp.
This would be good.
Nice.
Milk. So,
We walked all the way from the hotel to Trader Joe's. I don't know how long of a walk that was, but
it was probably about 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah. We drove past that Trader Joe's. I know where that is.
The $1 bus ride to that Trader Joe's. I thought it was worth it.
They had a good selection, lots of fresh fruit. And unfortunately, we didn't have a lot of like cooking stuff at the hotel. Yeah. So.
Well, that's why you get to buy, or you can buy the prepared stuff that they have, which is like, you know, really expensive, but you're on vacation and you don't have a kitchen. So that's your excuse, you know? So, and I used that reasoning and very, just, you know, sound logic to stock up on $8 raw vegan desserts at Whole Foods because we had a fridge. So,
we didn't have a fridge. We didn't get a fridge.
Oh, you could ask for one.
Oh, we did.
We asked for one. Yeah, we made good use of it.
We didn't think of it.
Yeah, and so you ate out at Veggie Grill too, right?
We ate it.
We definitely had nachos and ruined our banquet dinner because it was about like half an hour after we ate nachos. But I went back a couple days later and had the macaroni, and it was gluten free. Macaroni, it was great.
Oh yeah, it's good stuff.
I kind of didn't chew any of it though. I was just like, I'm hungry and this is delicious.
Really good stuff.
Well, good to hear. I'm glad you got to discover some stuff while you were there as well. And we are going to move on with a station ID and the news, Carissa.
All right, you are listening to the Animal Voices radio show here on 102.7 CFRO. Okay, I don't know what I was just saying. Co-op Radio in Vancouver, BC, Canada. So in the news, I have a story here from examiner.com, and it comes to us from Long Beach, California. 3 years ago, Michael Reed was homeless. Reed lived on the streets with his constant companion, a pit bull named Topaz. In August 2008, tragedy struck. Topaz was caught in the middle of a police shootout involving another homeless man. In the firefight, she was shot multiple times and one of her legs was destroyed. The community pulled together to help Topaz and her guardian. Reed and Topaz were provided with a home in a trailer park and have been living there, enjoying a good, peaceful life since. But a few weeks ago, tragedy struck again. Michael Reed began throwing up blood. After a rushed trip to the hospital, it was determined that Reed is terminally ill.
Oh, no.
He is currently receiving care at a veterans hospital and is being helped by advocates and social workers in the area. And together, they are trying to not only provide him with assistance, but also to help his companion, Topaz, a dog who will be soon without an owner. Aww. Reed loves Topaz. She is the light of his life, his one true friend. Those working to help Reed in this difficult time want to find Topaz a home before he dies, to give her safety and provide Reed with the greatest gift of all, peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Topaz has been described as very affectionate and great with all people. She loves to give kisses and go for car rides. Her only dislike is cats. Topaz is 6 years old and house trained. Sadly, Topaz herself has recently been diagnosed with cancer. She has a round cell tumor. The good news, though, is that the surgery can be done and she is expected to survive if funds can be raised for her treatment. So anyone who is hoping to help with Michael or Topaz is asked to contact Ingrid at 310-480-6030, or you can email her, and the email address listed here is Pajade, so that's P-A-J-A-D-E at Yahoo, and it says .de. I don't know if that's a different thing or if that was a
That's
spelling.
Denmark.
Is it? Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Or Germany. Can't remember. One of them. One
as
of
long
places.
As it's a real email address. Yeah. I was a little bit worried. So Ingrid is hoping to help ease Michael's burden. His condition is poor right now and he's not expected to live much longer. So you can email her directly to see how you can help. So or share that story if you know anyone in LA that... Yeah. Maybe adopt a dog. It's looking
I hope he finds a good home.
Yeah, hopefully. Especially since she's gone through so much and is kind of special needs if she's missing a leg, right?
Oh, so, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And then I also have a story here from PETA.com that was posted, I think, yesterday. An elephant who is being loaded into a Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey circus boxcar collapsed after struggling to climb the ramp. And according to an eyewitness, a Ringling crew member intimidated and forced the elephant to get up and into the railroad car. The circus was loading animals after finishing a run in Anaheim, California, and was on the way to Ontario, California. Reports indicate that the elephant who collapsed is Sarah, an elephant whose removal from performances PETA called for last month because of her poor physical condition. Many of the elephants forced to travel with Ringling are ill and in pain. Just weeks ago, two independent veterinarians with many years of experience with elephants analyzed video footage of Ringling's elephant walk and opening night performance in Los Angeles and determined that one of the elephants is clinically lame to the point of being crippled. Her condition is painful and she should not be performing. And another elephant with a lump on her left upper leg demonstrates obvious pelvic lameness. PETA is asking that you join them in calling on Anaheim Mayor Tom Tate to make this the last time that Ringling comes to town, and Ontario, California Mayor Paul S. Leon to allow an independent expert, not a Ringling lackey, to check on the elephant's condition. You can follow the link to the story on our Facebook page for more info on how to contact both of those people. So I know, Tara, I don't think any of us managed to make it to the circus demonstration that happened, but I'm pretty
sure I
think that was what it was for, right? It was the Ringling Brothers circus.
I was really surprised. The Ottawa Citizen posted something. There's an author, he posted I guess an article about how he enjoyed going as a child to the circus, and how he took his nieces and nephews there, like, I guess a few months ago to the circus. And they're asking, well, I'm asking, and IDA is also asking for people to email Ottawa Citizen, the editor, and tell them, you know, that this is a cruel industry and we shouldn't be promoting it. And the picture that he posted in the article is Sarah's actually in that picture.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So definitely do that as well.
Yeah. Can you post that link on our Facebook as well?
Absolutely. I'll do that.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Our feature interview today is with Robin Dorman of the nonprofit organization In Defense of Animals. Robin is the campaign manager of IDA's South Korean Dog and Cat Campaign. Every year, approximately 2 million dogs are inhumanely caged, tortured, and used for food in South Korea. Robin is here today to speak to us about this issue and the work that IDA is doing to urge the South Korean government to strengthen and enforce animal protection laws so that these cruelties can come to an end. Hello, Robin, and welcome to the Animal Voices show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. So please tell us about this atrocity that's happening in South Korea. We were talking about it a bit before on the show, just our general thoughts on it. First of all, I think most people here in the West would be absolutely horrified to know that people eat cats and dogs in other parts of the world, animals that we are accustomed to having as companions and treating as part of our families. Is this something that is a longstanding cultural tradition in South Korea? And can you tell us what you know about why people eat dogs and cats in this region?
Absolutely. Well, firstly, when you mentioned 2 million dogs, in fact, we just found out last night that the number could be much higher.
Really?
According to the Dog Meat Farmers Association, there are approximately 3 million dogs killed for consumption, but that number does need to be confirmed. The number of cats killed are in the thousands. And for these animals, as you know, and you can imagine, their lives are an odyssey of pain, torture, and suffering. Regarding the consumption of dogs and cats in other parts of the world, IDA's focus is specifically on South Korea because about 8 or so years ago, a young South Korean woman wrote to us with an absolutely harrowing story of witnessing a dog being slowly and agonizingly torn apart. Quote, "Dogs should take a long time to be killed, that way it tastes better," she was told almost cheerfully by the man doing the torturing. And she then appealed to IDA to let her voice be heard, begging us to bring international attention to the plight of dogs and cats and to work with the newly visible South Korean animal protection organizations. So what she personally witnessed moved her to reach out to us. And then as we investigated, we found that the situation was far worse than in other countries, specifically because of a perverse belief, as South Korean activists refer to it, that the more a dog suffers during his death, the more a man's virility will increase from eating the dog's flesh. And as one perpetrator put it, the longer it takes to kill the dog, the better the taste. And as you may know, dogs are strangled, hanged, electrocuted, beaten to death, burned with a blowtorch, or just ripped apart. the really awful news is the greater the terror experience, the greater the boost in adrenaline, making it that much more powerful as a panacea for health. Cats are subjected to their own torment by being bludgeoned and then boiled alive in medicinal stews. So where such abhorrent cruelty occurs, we could not remain silent, nor could we ignore, the cries of the woman who solicited our help. We work very closely with South Korean animal welfare groups, Coexistence for Animal Rights on Earth, CARE, and Korean animal rights advocates, CARA. Our ongoing support for our allies and their campaigns, which include protests, lawsuits, secret investigations, rescues, working to strengthen existing laws to legalize the killing of companion animals and education is critical to these indefensible atrocities receiving international attention. The dog and cat industry flourishes because of the shameful indifference of the South Korean government. And you asked whether this is a long-standing tradition. Absolutely not. Eating dogs and cats is not a cultural tradition in South Korea, and the majority, do not partake in this practice. Paradoxically, dogs were always beloved. But after the ravages of the Second World War and the Korean War, it was a necessity for some to stave off hunger. But unfortunately, what happened is that powerful myths took hold in the imagination about these alleged medicinal properties of cats and dogs. So dogs are consumed not only to increase sexual potency in men, but for overall health. And interestingly, during the hottest days of summer, known as Bacchanal, to cool the body's temperature, which is absurd. And cats produce tonics that are believed to cure rheumatism and arthritis. So in short, 3 million dogs and thousands of cats butchered every year, providing rich and exploitative opportunities for profit by the greedy, shadowy, and illicit dog and cat industry. But as I said, the majority of South Koreans are very much cat and dog-loving guardians of companion animals. And there's also a distinction to be made, created by butchers, between dogs as companions and dogs raised for meat, which is perfectly embodied in the slogan that is now being used by CARA for its campaign against the consumption of dogs, again, during what is known as Bacchanal, the hottest days of summer when people do eat dogs. And that is, quote, "Tears of Bacchanal. Dogs are the same. There is no dog for meat." So essentially deconstructing the idea that dogs for meat are somehow different and therefore raised differently.
So I'm interested in knowing how these animals are kept and treated before they're killed and consumed. I posted a video on our website that shows dogs, and it's really sad because it's just, it's companion animals. Our family members being kept in cages at the market, and then and there's two people negotiating a price. Can you explain more? Like, where do these cats and dogs come from, and where are they sold?
Okay, well, a couple things. Dogs are raised in meat markets, as documented during investigations, and they are kept in absolutely deplorable conditions where confinement is so severe, think vegetables and crates, that animals are often stacked together in filthy, disgusting cages, unable to move, awaiting their gruesome fate. At the markets, a customer makes a selection. The dog is then violently pulled from the cage and electrocuted right there on the spot when their necks are broken. And where dogs and cats come from? Illegal and despicably unsanitary dog farms are hidden away in the countryside where breeders raise their dogs for the butchers, and they live in appalling conditions, really the equivalent of puppy mills in the United States. Mm-hmm. So they're living in absolute squalor and misery until their lives are snuffed out. There are also homeless dogs and cats, and many of whom are stolen or bought and then slaughtered for meat and dog liquor.
So I'm interested in knowing, you're saying that the government is perpetrating this industry. Government is supposed to protect the people of its country. What are the governmental animal protection laws and the animals, too? What are the animal protection laws like in South Korea, especially pertaining to animals raised and killed for food?
Well, it's a great question and one of the most bizarre situations. The Korean Animal Protection or Welfare Law was first adopted May 7, 1991, actually following the 1988 Olympics and the controversy that stirred about the dog meat issue. Of course, everybody was horrified. The law has been revised several times, adding clearer definitions of cruelty, which is good, and introducing new legislation aimed at animal guardians. So in a bit of hopeful news, an amendment passed recently that will take effect next year where animal abuse will be punishable for up to 1 year in prison. And at present, for the highest penalty for mistreatment of animals is about 5 million KRW, which is around $5,000. However, the law remains very, very weak and ineffectual. And here's the bizarre part. Killing and eating dogs is illegal in South Korea.
Illegal?
Illegal.
Oh, wow.
Illegal. The selling and processing of dogs is technically illegal, but as Kara says, it can be summed up with this paradox, and I add with a bit of Kafkian logic, it is illegal to produce and consume dog meat, but it is not against the law. For example, a provision that punishes the cruel slaughter of dogs in public spaces cannot prohibit the same cruel acts happening in private establishments, such as dog meat restaurants. And also referring to, and also relating to the dog meat industry, and this is interesting, there are processing of livestock products at, I'm sorry, there is a Processing of Livestock Products Act and the Livestock Industry Act. It means that breeding is legal because dogs are categorized as livestock in the Livestock Industry Act, but slaughtering, processing, selling is illegal because dogs are not included in the Processing of Livestock Products Act. However, there's no legal restriction in place of a violation of this law, therefore no legal penalty may be imposed on them. So what I'm essentially saying is despite laws protecting dogs and cats from mistreatment, and I, you know, put quotes around that, the South Korean government has refused to uphold its responsibilities and is essentially turning a blind eye, openly complicit with this criminal behavior.
So I want to know what IDA's goal is exactly with regards to your campaign on this issue. What are you hoping to accomplish? Are you targeting the government, or is it the people, or both? And I know you've got the blue bus that's going on there.
Yes. Well, what IDA is doing, it's drawing an international attention, obviously with our International Day of Action, but also in our campaign, we support, by supporting Karen Cara, both of whom are involved in undercover investigations, hands-on rescue, getting farms and facilities shut down, which is very important, education throughout the country, and especially about compassion toward all animals, not just dogs. But strengthening the laws to ban dog meat is the only way to shut down this monstrous industry. IDA, as a side note, funded a rescue vehicle for Care to travel the country to rescue as many dogs and cats as possible. So we work in concert with our partners to get laws changed and end this ghastly industry.
And I know you've done some great work there. I just want to remind our listeners, this is the Animal Voices radio show on 102.7 CFRO in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. So I want to move on to that next. I read about this on your website. Can you please tell us about the dog meat farm that was recently shut down in the Gyeonggi, I think it's pronounced, province in South Korea?
Yes. Last year, CARE received a tip about a dog meat farm in the remote province. My pronunciation is not very good. CARE activists visited the facility. What they found was horrifying. Dogs were living in ramshackle cages. Some had injuries. All sat in piles of feces. And at the risk of personal injury, the activists rescued the dogs and brought them to CARE shelter to be treated, cleaned, and loved. CARE then filed a civil complaint against the facility, and the owner agreed to demolish the buildings and not obtain any more dogs, which was a huge victory for the dogs of South Korea. With IDA's assistance, CARE is gearing up for lawsuits against dog meat shops in this province. If convicted, the butchers would be fined up to 5 million won, around 5,000. This would be a great deterrent to selling dog meat. And then since last December, grassroots protests against the dog meat trade are held every Sunday in various provinces, with more and more people participating spontaneously. And then in a crowning victory in Goyang City, CARE learned of a local government shelter that was selling rescued dogs and cats to meat traders, and they investigated, gathered evidence, exposed the shelter to the media, and the shelter employee who was trafficking in cruelty was fired. And then the illegal trades of animals in these shelters were halted. So, and then the shelter turned a blind eye, in which it released dogs and cats was shut. The shelter itself was shut down. Mm-hmm. So,
and I don't know if this is the story that I saw on your website, but I just I think you had volunteers checking out a dog meat farm in South Korea, and I just remember reading it was said that it was so bad we couldn't keep them there, and it was really touching. I have to say, just to watch the people rescuing these animals that, you know, would otherwise be killed and eaten, and taking them, and they look so friendly. It's just, you know, it's one thing to identify with cows, pigs, and chickens. It's another thing to identify with, you know, man's best friend, right? Mm-hmm. 2 million, or now you're saying 3 million cats and dogs are slaughtered for food each year, and that for one country, that sure seems like a lot. So, again, I want to know, like, what's the population of South Korea? Because you're saying it's not a majority who are engaging in this.
It's a very small minority.
Okay, so it's a small sector of people. So so you're saying the majority of South Koreans, they keep dogs and cats as pets, like we do here.
Yes, they do, as animal companions.
So we were speaking about on the show earlier, but the ones that don't, they still recognize those animals as companion animals. How do they reconcile that? Like, I don't know, you're obviously not one of these people, but what do you think? Like, is it just the norm to say, like, okay, I've got a dog in my front yard who's running around, and I've got this dog I just bought at the market who I'm going to eat for dinner? Like, what is with
that? There have been stories about families going on picnics and taking their companion animal, their own dog, and then bringing a puppy along whom they're going to barbecue for lunch. So it's making that distinction in the mind of this is a dog for love and companionship, and here's a dog for meat. And that's the whole idea around that around the Cara slogan and the Cara idea, you know, to say all dogs are the same. There are no differences. Dogs are not raised for meat. They're raised for companionship.
I just can't imagine. Yeah, I just can't imagine how you can make that distinction. Is here's our, you know, our loving dog, who's our family member, and here's a cute little puppy that we're going to eat. You know, they're the same. So, what is your response to critics from South Korea or even from here in North America who say that we should look out in our own backyard first at the atrocities that we North Americans commit to our animals on a grand scale by torturing and slaughtering them for consumption on a daily basis before judging the South Koreans for eating animals that we typically don't torture and eat here in Canada and the States? What would you say to that?
It's a good question. Well, first of all, we North Americans live on a continent where the unthinkable occurs every day. I mean, we can't get around that. In laboratories, puppy mills, elephants in zoos and circuses, the billions living in nightmarish factories,
we're really bad.
Wildlife, wild horses, marine life, absolutely. The list stretches across what we could say, the vast sweep of the entire benighted system of animal use and abuse. You know, it's a devastating indictment of societies, you know, that we're so accustomed, really, to the mistreatment of non-human animals. So, but on that note, IDA has vigorous campaigns addressing all of these issues. So here's the question, why should that preclude us from looking at abuses that occur elsewhere? Mm-hmm. IDA runs a sanctuary in Cameroon, Africa, to protect chimpanzees from the bushmeat trade. We support ambulance services and veterinary care for thousands of street animals in Mumbai, India. We campaign against the dolphin massacres in Taiji, Japan, that happen every year. Why is Korea any different? You know, should only those living in a particular country be allowed to speak out against cruelty there? So very specifically, there are times when international attention and pressure is the only way we can make a difference and bring actual, real change, concrete change to animals. And as I said in the beginning, it was a South Korean woman who asked for our help. We also receive, interestingly, a voluminous number of letters of support from South Koreans living in South Korea, as well as Korean Americans, expressing their amazing, profound gratitude and appreciation of our efforts to end the suffering of animals, not only in South Korea, but wherever it occurs. So for me, cruelty knows no borders. And this is a really fascinating issue because we have a lot of supporters who love their dogs and cats, as you were expressing, but still eat other animals. And the dog-eating issue helps to really illuminate the idea that there's really no difference between a chicken, a cow, and a pig, and a dog. No animals should be eaten. I read a great article recently in The New Yorker about dogs, and at the end, Adam Gopnik, the writer, spoke of his family's new companion, Butterscotch, and she widens his circles of compassion, as he put it. He also spoke about entering a dog's feelings of pain, fear, worry, need that all animals have. This campaign is about our own capacity for empathy and bridging these concerns.
Thank you for that. That's a great answer. So please tell us about the 6th Annual International Day of Action for South Korean Dogs and Cats, which is happening next Tuesday, August the 16th. I want to know about this event and who will be involved. And I'm also interested to know about the significance of this date, August 16th, which is what the Bok Days is.
Okay. Well, it's actually the 7th Annual International Day of Action.
Oh, I read 6.
Yes.
Okay.
And the significance of August 16th is that we're following right in the heels of the South Korean protests so that we can report on it. And it's worked out really, really well. On Tuesday, August 16th, activists in over 40 cities around the world will converge on South Korean embassies and consulates and other public locations, protesting, obviously, this abhorrent cruelty associated with South Korea's dog and cat meat trade. In Defense of Animals is coordinating the demonstrations. At the Korean Embassy in San Francisco, IDA will present just over 15,000 signed petitions asking the South Korean government to strengthen its existing laws, again, to prohibit the slaughter of cats and dogs for consumption. Demonstrations will be happening in cities ranging from, you know, numbers of San Francisco and Monterey and California and Boston and Harrisburg and various cities all across the country, as well as in Australia, Canada, Ireland, and South Africa.
So what is Bok Days? It's
That's what I was mentioning before.
Yeah.
It's those 3 days that run from July.
It's only 3 days.
To August.
Okay.
Yes, but however, there are protests throughout the entire period of time from July through August, and these are the days when they're called the dog eating days because they're the hottest days of summer. And again, that perverse belief that persists that eating dogs will cool the cool the body, cool the temperatures.
That's because they believe eating animals who don't sweat will keep them cool, which is one of the most preposterous things I've ever heard. And it just really makes me question the human mind and what people will believe. And, you know, we're no better here in North America, really. It's just that
we
just really notice it when it's a different culture doing it. So how can our listeners find out if there is an event taking place in their community next week?
I would suggest please visit our website, idausa.org, and click on Animal Abuse in Korea, where you will see Days of Action 2011 listing. And they have all the information is posted.
Okay, and finally, outside of taking part in the August 16th event next week, what can our listeners do to support the work that you are doing to end these cruelties against cats and dogs?
Make a donation to IDA to support our partners in South Korea. Again, click on Animal Abuse in Korea and click on our website, and then you'll see What You Can Do page, and please, where you can sign our, there are many things, where you can sign our petition, write letters, especially to the South Korean officials. I would suggest writing letters to the editor of your local newspaper, writing op-eds, write me for more ideas. I am at Robin, R-O-B-I-N, at IDAUSA.org.
That's a lot that people can do. And I know that you have a petition that's on your website. So I actually put a link on it on our website, animalvoices.org. So it's very easy to find if people want to go on there or go to your website,
idausa.org.
Yes, I filled out that petition. You know, those online petitions are really, really easy to fill out. And can you just remind me, you're asking a governmental official in Korea. What are you asking him exactly?
Yes, on our page again, What You Can Do page. Right. Asking them to strengthen its laws, which already exist, to end the slaughter and ban the consumption of cats and dogs forever.
Well, thank you so much, Robin, for coming on the show today to speak with us about the issue of the torture and consumption of dogs and cats in South Korea. To find out more about IDA's campaign, please visit their website at www.idausa.org. And remember to take part in the August 16th International Day of Action for South Korean Dogs and Cats, if you can, and go to our website as well, and IDA's website, to check out that petition. Thanks so much, Robin. It was very informative.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to the Animal Voices radio show here on 102.7 CFRO Co-op Radio. If you enjoyed the show today, you can connect with us online. You can like us on Facebook. Just search Animal Voices Vancouver. You can also follow us on Twitter. Just search Animal Voices YVR because, you know, we need to confuse you a little. Make it slightly difficult. You can listen to past shows on our website, which is www.animalvoices.org. Or you can just do the easy thing and subscribe to the Animal Voices Vancouver podcast on iTunes. Next week, we'll have a cookbook review of The Cookie Connoisseur by Kelly Peloza and something else that will be a surprise because I like to keep
We like to surprise you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we will leave you now with I Don't Eat Animals by Melanie Safka.
And since we have a bit of extra time, I just want to remind people to come out to our potluck tomorrow.
Yeah.
Raffle prizes.
6 p.m. Trout Lake.
Get to meet the hosts of the Animal Voices show. That's us. You can have your picture taken with us.
And it's easily accessible by transit. That's why we chose Trout Lake. I don't think I've ever heard of anyone having a potluck there.
Oh, I'm sure it's
happened. Sure people have.
I'm sure it's happened before in the past. Trout Lake's at, do you remember the cross streets?
It's Victoria and
15th, is it?
Maybe. It's really near 12th.
And it's quite close to, I think it's quite close to one of the sky trains, the commercial sky train.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, really accessible. It's a nice location. You'll see us there. There'll be, we have like about 60 people going, by the way. So it'll be very easy to find us, I think. So be there or
bring a blanket and don't forget your utensils and plates and cups you won't be eating. You'll be really sad because it's not food safe for us to let you eat with your fingers.
They do in India. I guess they don't have food safe
everybody
there.
Eating out of like, everybody eating salad out of a bowl together.
So sounds appetizing.
Here we are. I Don't Eat Animals, Melanie Safka.
I was just thinking about the way it's supposed to be. I'll eat the plants and the fruit from the trees, and I'll live on vegetables, and I'll grow on seeds, but I don't need
and cheese. But I don't need animals, and they don't need me. Oh no, I don't need animals, 'cause I love them, you see. I don't need animals, I want nothing dead in me.
If you're tired of your computer crashing from viruses and you'd like to learn how computers work while preventing e-waste at the same time, then Free Geek is the place for you. Free Geek is a community technology center based in East Vancouver. We're a nonprofit organization who ethically recycles computers, gives free workshops, and refurbishes hardware to give back to the community. If you'd like to volunteer and have a chance at earning a free computer from Free Geek, then go to freegeekvancouver.org to learn more or call 604-879-4335. Free Geek, helping the needy get nerdy.
The time is just 1 o'clock, 1 p.m. here in the beautiful downtown east side of Vancouver on Canada's west coast. And you are tuned to CFRO, Vancouver's Cooperative Radio, 102.7 FM and around the world on cooperadio.org. I just noticed outside that Co-op Radio's program, The F Word, is having a benefit on August 24th, which I think is a Wednesday, at Café du Soleil in Commercial Drive. So if you're around Vancouver at that time, consider supporting The F Word, supporting Co-op Radio, and having a good evening at Café du Soleil. There'll be